Lord, we just are so in love with you. We are so glad that you are who you are, because you're always so full of kindness and mercy and peace. And we can get all stressed, but the minute we come in your presence, everything's okay. I love it when your countenance just brings that smile, and we know you've got it. Lord, we just ask you to bless your word today, that you would just burn it like a fire inside of us that will change us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. We're going to talk about balance today. I want to do just a little, I'm going to tell you where I'm at, but I'm not going to wait for you to go there, because I'm going to do a little quick run before we get to the balance. We've been hearing a lot of warnings. We've been hearing a lot of prophetic words about things that are coming that are not going to be so fun, you know, national disasters or wars or diseases, all these things that are coming to America, you know. And we've been hearing a lot of warnings to the church. Like in Jeremiah chapter 3, God says, "How can I put you among the children and give you a pleasant land and a good heritage?" And he goes on to say, "I told you, call me your father, but you still turned away from me. You just kept turning away from me. Like a wife leaving her husband, you dealt treacherously." God, did you hear the first part? He said, "I want to call you my children. I want to give you a pleasant land and a great heritage, but people keep turning away from God, so he can't give them those blessings." A voice was heard on high, in high places, weeping, supplications for the children of Israel, because they perverted their way and forgotten their God. God was that weeping voice saying, "I am weeping because my children forgot me." See, these things that are coming, some from the devil, attacks of the devil, some from judgments of God, because there hasn't been the repentance. So God is saying, "I don't want this to happen. I am weeping for you. I am pleading with you. Turn to me. Give me your life so I can be your daddy. I can take care of you. I can give you a good and pleasant land." There's shame and confusion covering the face of people. In Jeremiah 4, he said, "But if you will return to me and put away from me all these abominations, break up your fallow ground." He means dig a little deeper. You know, come on, get deep down inside. What's really inside of you? What's really going on? You know, open your heart up to God and let him see what's really happening in there. And you know, God is talking to his people. He's not even talking to the heathen. He's talking to his people that don't continue to stay with him. And he warns his messengers. He said, "Declare the warning, publish the warning, blow the trumpet, gather the people, set up my standard, and call the people, because there is evil coming. The destroyer is on his way." He said, "It's even going to be a shocking day to many of the carnal leaders, and even the priests and the prophets are going to be astonished, because the majority of them are saying, everything is fine. God is just fine. You know, he's forgiven all your sin. It's all under the blood." That's true. But if you continue to choose it, there will be consequences. Right. But the main voice is, everything is peace and everything is fine, and don't worry about it. He said, "There is a wind, a full wind. There is a whirlwind that is coming." He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. How long shall your vain thoughts lodge within you? How long will you just keep thinking about my car, my house, my clothes, my, me? How long will you keep thinking these empty, useless thoughts? Return to me and be safe." He says, "Your ways and your doings have procured these things unto you, and this is your wickedness, and it is bitter, and it will reach into your hearts." And then God says, "Oh, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart makes a noise within me, and I cannot hold my peace, because you have heard, oh, my soul, the sound of the trumpet in the alarm of war. God says, this is grieving me deeply, not because you don't know, but because I have told you, I have warned you, and you still have not turned. And it grieves me because you're standing right in the path of destruction, and you won't come back to safety. We've been hearing for a long time these visions, these warnings. We've been hearing all of this for a long time. But today I want to talk about balance. First of all, I wanted to remind you, these are the things we're hearing. On one side, God has scales, and on one side, here is all this deep, serious warning about things that are coming. Please get ready. Please prepare. Return to God. Repent of your sin. Here's all this heaviness on one side of the scale. But, you know, in Proverbs 11:1, it says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. So what's on the other side of that scale? Because God has never just let us just come out here and be sad and heavy. At the same time, because God can, he can be at a funeral weeping and be at a wedding dancing. We have to have the balance. God is good. God is merciful. God is loving and kind. And we have to keep that balance. Is he a God who wants to punish us? No. He's a God who wants to rescue us. Is he a God who just says, you have sinned and you've had it now? No. He says, I want to forgive you. That's why I came and shed my blood for you. There's the mercy. There's judgment. There's mercy. There's terrible things coming, but there's the safety and shelter inside of God. We have to keep that balance. And what got me started thinking about this, we have children who are preaching and just growing up so fast in the Lord. And little Jackson, he heard the story of the little boy who went to heaven and then came back, you know. Have y'all heard that? Heaven is for Real, you know, that book. And Jackson said, after that little boy went to heaven and came back, did he just talk about God all the time, all day, every day? And I said, no, Jackson. He picked on his sister. He was still a little boy. He swang on the swings. He played. He laughed. He was still a child having fun. And see, that's the balance of God. We can't weigh our children or our people down so heavy under the burden of everything that they forget the love and the joy and the humor and the laughter. Because see, Paul and Silas sat in jail, but they sang praises while they were there. So we don't want to get off balance. We have to remember the wonderfulness of God. And no matter in the midst of all the disasters, we can be rejoicing. We can be full of his joy and his peace. Proverbs 16:11 says, a just weight and a balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. If we're balancing our scales with God's weights, then yes, there's repentance. Yes, there's judgment. Yes, there's weeping at a funeral. Yes, there is the grieving heart of God. And there's the humor and the laughter and the joy and the pleasure of the Lord. If we're using weights that don't belong to God at all, the devil comes along. What happens when we fall into sin and God says, just walk right out of it, confess your sin, and I'm faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse your sin. That's his balance weight to our sin. But the devil wants to come along and throw his rocks on our scale. Guilt, shame, give up, hopeless. You're never going to change. So that's a false balance. But when the weights both belong to God, it will stay balanced. In Proverbs 20:23 says, divers weights. Many of these weights that we put on our scale are an abomination unto the Lord. A false balance is not good. Even true things, right things, can get out of balance. We can be so serious-minded, we forget how to laugh, and laughter is a good medicine. So I want to talk to you just for a minute. It's really short this morning, but I want to talk to you about praise. Because in the midst of all the things that we see coming, and in the midst of all your trials you're going through, and all your persecutions and griefs and sicknesses and all the things that the devil might be throwing at you, why do we praise? Now, praise and worship are different. We have two services now. And our praise is usually all upbeat. We're jumping and clapping and running and dancing. And worship is where you just sit down and soak in the very presence of God, the intimacy in the secret place with Him. Both of them are necessary. But I want to talk about praise. In Psalm 5:11, it says, "But all those that put their trust in you rejoice." You know that word rejoice means they cheer up, they make merry. It says, "Let them ever shout for joy." Now, why would we do that when we're hearing all these warnings and all these heavy things? Why would we want to praise? Because God, we put our trust in Him. He's going to take care of us. We are keeping an open heart toward Him. We are keeping a short record on our sin and confessing. And we are living in the joy and presence of God. So even when something bad happens, we are saying, God is going to take care of it. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And I love Him. And I've given Him my life. So it's going to be okay. He's going to take care of me. Does that mean you'll never break your leg? No, it doesn't. We're going to get into why that's okay too. God is our defender though, and He wants us to be joyful because we trust Him. Psalm 16:11. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." There's a secret path of life. And it's the path you walk with God. And when you're walking that path with God, things of this world can't steal your joy. When you're in that path, that secret place with God, then He is the fullness of your joy. Nobody can take Him from you. They can take your money, take your health, take your marriage, take your kids, but they cannot take that joy of the Lord inside of you. You're not always happy, but in His presence, at His right hand, are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 27:6. "And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me." You know, when we praise, what we're doing, we're standing up. We're sitting in our seat out there in the congregation, and we're down there, and the devil's had a good hit at us, and we're saying, "Well, I don't even feel like praising today because I don't feel good. And I lost my job last week, and I lost my temper yesterday, and I always lose my temper, and I'm just never going to." And all of a sudden, praise starts, and we go, "I am lifting my head above those enemies and saying, I'm on God's side. Woo-hoo, Jesus." Praise is a choice. It is different than being in His presence. It's different. It's a choice. It's the sacrifice of praise to say, "I'm standing up. I'm going to dance, I'm going to clap, I'm going to cheer for God because I trust Him." Right. Because I'm not going to sit down there with my enemy right. and pout about right. life. And you know, the enemy flees when you do that.
Right.
You might not immediately be in God's presence, but you're not in that guy's presence anymore either.
Amen.
In His tabernacle are the sacrifices of joy. It's a sacrifice. But if you start doing it, you'll start feeling it. It's a battle cry. It's a shout of rejoicing. It says, "I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." This is an act of faith worship. Thanking God for what He's going to do before He does it. That's faith. It declares my faith and trust in Him, no matter what's going on. It's shouting out on God's ability, God's goodness, everything that God is. Psalm 43:4. "Then will I go into the altar of God, unto the God of my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise you, O God, my God." You don't have to say, "Well, I don't feel like it today." It's a sacrifice. It's a choice. When you go to a sporting event, I don't go to them because I don't even like sports. But you know, when you go to your kid's baseball game or you go to the football game, you know which team you're cheering for. You don't wait till they win to cheer for them. You cheer for him during the game. Well, you don't wait till God has proven himself to cheer for him. You don't wait until you've won the victory. You don't wait until God does everything you hoped he would do and then say, oh, thank you, God, you've done so good. You get up while you're in the midst of the game, in the midst of the fight, in the midst of your battle. You stand up in the middle of it and say, God's going to win. Woo! Go, God. I'm on your side. Yep. Cheer like you would at a ball game. Why is it okay to cheer at a ball game and act like a fool, paint your face weird colors, put feathers on your head, run around, do the wave? We're all coming into unity because we like the ball game. Why can you do all those silly things for a ball and you're embarrassed to stand up for God? Yay, ball! Get that ball! You know, what about yay, God? Go get that double, God. Let's cheer for God. It is a choice. It is different than melting in his presence later. It's a choice to cheer for God. It's a choice to say, I'm on God's side of this game. Psalm 35, 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad, those that favor my righteous cause. Those who delight. What is God's cause? We're going to go to war now, okay? When you go to war and you're down in the trenches, you go and you volunteer to fight for your country, and you know you may go out there for days without food. You may get shot. You may get captured and put in prison. You may have to live down in that dirty trench by stinky people. Are there some people in church you don't really want to be around? I don't mean stinky people, but stinky personalities. Maybe they're not so nice to you. You know how many people quit coming to church because somebody didn't say hi to them? Somebody hurt their feelings. You don't come for them. Right. You didn't get down in the trench because you love your fellow soldier. You had a cause. You had a cause when you went to war. You knew it would be tough. You know you might even die for your cause. But that cause was freedom. That cause was the righteousness of the country you're fighting for. The freedom, the protection of your family. You had a reason to go out there and fight and maybe die. God said, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. What is his righteous cause? Is God a user? Is he selfish? He said, hey, I got a cause and I want a bunch of little in chess pawns that are going to just go out there and get slaughtered so that I look good. Is that our God?
No.
What is his cause? His cause is to love you, to help you, to win you, to get the devil out of your life, to get the stuff out of your life that's destroying you. His cause is you. He's all about people. He's not got a selfish bone in his body. He is humble and meek. His cause is righteousness, holiness. Would you like it if your friends were all liars? Every time they speak, you don't know if it's true. And every time they come over, something's missing because they're a thief. How about if your best buddy comes in and steals your wife? You want to live in that kind of place? We are living in that place, right? God's cause is righteousness, honesty, truth, love, forgiveness, giving, sharing. His cause is his holiness. And he wants us to enter into that holiness. And if you love God for who he is, and you want him to start changing your life and get rid of the devil's stuff, now you've got a cause to fight for. You've got a war to fight. Praise says, I'm in the trenches. I'm in this war by choice. Now if the devil takes some shots at me and I get hit, my God will heal me. He'll take care of me. But I am here for the cause. So get up and cheer for the cause. It's time to worship. Woohoo! We're in war. We're just running around with our swords in hand saying, Jesus, Jesus, swing those swords of God. What's the sword of God? His word. Get up and praise him by choice.
Amen.
The Lord has... Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. This is for his glory. Let the Lord be magnified. Have you ever seen a blind man, a crippled man, who says, oh, God is so good? And you're going, How can you be saying God is good when I'm mad at him half the time and I can see and I have legs? Because they understand something. They got the joy of the Lord.
Right.
They live in his presence.
Right.
They got something that one who can see doesn't have. This is for his glory. If what you're going through glorifies him, then get up and shout about it. He has pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. He does not want you to live a horrible, terrible life. He really loves you. He's a good God. So I just want to give you a little bit of balance, because this is the balance. Yes, we're at war. Yes, we're getting shot. Yes, we get beat up sometimes. But don't forget, God has fun. He has the greatest sense of humor. He really has a great sense of humor. He is fun. He doesn't sit on the throne all day, all stuffy, saying, I'll kneel before me. You know, when Janiah was a little girl, and we were in a different kind of church, one day she said, is heaven like church? Because if it is, I don't think I want to go there. That is pathetic. Heaven is not like church. It's so much more fun. It's just a wonderful, awesome place. So why don't we copy that here and make church fun, make life fun, learn to laugh in the midst of trouble, learn to praise him, thank him before he does something. That's faith. Now, at the end of service, it's different. We go into worship. Everybody can't do that. Some of you have never been there. But that's where you abandon everything and just shut your eyes and say, God, I just want to be in your very presence. Overwhelm me with your presence. I want to be with you. And his peace comes. And that deep, intimate love place comes. This is where we begin to pour out our heart and say, God, if I don't experience your presence, then it's very difficult to keep living. It's very difficult to keep fighting. It's difficult to keep cheering. I need to be with you. You know, when your husband's gone off to war and you miss him, just if he could just walk in the room and give you a hug and a kiss, hold you and remind you how much he loves you, then you'd have the strength to go a little further. God wants to hold you, kiss you, love you, remind you how much he loves you. Now, some of you may think falling down is funny, but you know what happens if you're totally abandoned to God and great big God just starts overwhelming little bitty us? Sometimes we just can't stand in all that glory. So it's not weird. Here sometimes we just go lay on the floor just to totally abandon ourselves. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Not for the devil. Freedom for God. Freedom for God. Make it easy. Make it easy. Stand up, dance, and shout. When it's worship, just kick your feet up somewhere. Lay back. Go lay on the floor. Go lay on a couch. Turn a chair around. Put your feet up. Church does not have to be stuffy. Church should be a place we meet with God, and he is not stuffy. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We just pray that you help us to be free in you and really know who you are in a good balance.